I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. And our guests are amidst, also a hearty welcome. God has blessed us with a beautiful day, and we just want to thank him for it. And it is good that we have come together this way this morning to worship the Lord and to remember that he is the reason why we are here today. And all that we have, all that we can do, and we know that he's in control. It comes all through his grace, his mercy, his goodness. And I trust that we can all say this morning that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, a day that you have made, a day that you are in control of. And Father, we thank you for the new birth and newness of life that you give us when we receive Jesus. Thank you for blessing us and providing for us as we strive to serve and be faithful to you. Place your message in our hearts so that we may proclaim your word to the sin-sick world around us. We pray for those that are in government, especially for those that are Christians, that you will give them spiritual strength to stand up for your word. We know that they face a lot of opposition from the world, and it often seems as if Satan is in control. But thank you, Lord, for your word and spirit that assures us that we need not fear, as you have already overcome the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take the red hymnal and turn to page 9. Yaizu, Yaizu, bread from heaven. Page 9.
Thank you.
shine.
This morning, we want to look at the topic of warnings. A warning means that a line has been crossed, but punishment is pending. I'm sure we have all received some kind of warning in our lives. Parents warn their children One more time and then. At work, I'm sure you might have been warned. Or the police gives us a warning, and he says next time it will be a ticket. And I believe we all know what a warning is. There is this story about a church that had only a few members there that Sunday morning. This happened in a fishing village. It had been a stormy winter. And the fishermen, they had to stay off the water for a number of days, or a number of weeks even, which made them very eager to get back onto the water and fish. That was their livelihood. But this one day, the sky was blue, clear sky. Sun was shining, and it looked like a beautiful day. 40 boats started out at sea. But before they went, the harbor master hoisted the storm warning flag. He begged the fishermen not to go, but the fishermen thought they knew better. Clear sky. This master, harbor master, told them that there was a storm coming. But the fishermen disregarded that warning. And in a few hours, when the fishermen were out at sea, the storm came, and only a few men returned. The rest of them drowned at sea. so that next Sunday morning, there were numerous women at church, but very few men. The fishermen had not heeded the warning of the one that knew the weather, the harbor master. And this morning, we want to look at the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. We want to look at the warnings that he is giving to the children of Israel. We want to, first of all, turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 14 to 19. He says, "Is Israel our servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities were burnt without inhabitant. Also the children of Nob and Tahapanas have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way?" He's asking them, all these things have happened to you. Haven't they happened to you because of the way you have treated God? "And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sahir? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river?" And then he says, in conclusion, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." This Jeremiah, he preached words, God's word to the people of Israel. Yes, the prophet Jeremiah saw that the children of Israel, they were falling away from God. And he came before the kings, the priests, and even before the false prophets, and he pleaded for them for a revival, but he received little support. Yes, Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. He wept over the unrighteousness of the children of Israel. No, he did not mince his words. He was very direct. He talked about the sins of the people, and he told them that God wasn't pleased the way they were living their lives. But the people's hearts, they were hardened. Their faith had become cold, and they did not take heed to what the prophet was telling them. Thus Jeremiah, he preached for 40 years. But in those 40 years that he preached, very little fruit became of his message that he preached to the people. But the message that he preached to the people, he gave them warnings, but he always concluded with a promise. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. "And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Jeremiah is pleading them. He says, if you will turn out from your evil life, the Lord will reward you. Jeremiah 4:14. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Now the people of Israel, they enjoyed the pleasures of sin, and they were not about to change. But judgment would come against them because they were unfaithful to the God who had rescued them from the bondage of Egypt. But little did they know that the bondage of sin would bring judgment upon them. Oh, the children of Israel, they were religious. But they worshipped idols. They worshipped God's creation instead of worshiping God, the Creator. Yes, the people have been blessed by God's goodness. And the reason that God had blessed these people, his people, was that he was hoping that that would draw them closer to him. But this did not happen. And when we read in the Old Testament, to make a graph out of it, the graph would go up and down. And every time when God blessed the people, they fell away from him. And when he sent them punishment, they came closer to him. And that's how it continued. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Jeremiah reminding the children of Israel what God had done to them. He had freed them from the bondage of slavery and brought them to the promised land. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah is telling people, go back to the days you were close to God. But what was their answer? They said, we will not walk therein. How sad. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Friends, we need to be careful as well. As we look at the story of Jeremiah, we need to ask ourselves the question, where do we fit into this story? We would have to acknowledge that God has been good to us. He has blessed us. Not only blessed us with physical things, but he has blessed us spiritually. We were all slaves. We were slaves to Satan and sin. And he sent Jesus Christ to release us from that slavery of sin. He not only released us from that sin, but he has given us a life. He has blessed us. He has not only blessed us here in this life as we are living, but he also has blessed us with a future. When he says in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you where I am. But we know all things may not have been in our favor in our lives. There might have been circumstances that brought hardships and trials. But we still must say we have been blessed. So let us be careful that we do not follow the pattern of the Israelites, where the paths of sin led them further and further from God. Now the people, they did not want to hear anything that would prick their conscience. The people of Israel held fast to a false security. The false prophets led them astray, said nothing can harm us. We have a temple. We can offer sacrifices. How can Jeremiah speak such words to us? But we all know how easily sin can distract us. But the same God that called the people of Israel to repentance calls us as well. Yes, we need to call sin, sin, and deal with it according to God's word. That is what the scripture is all about, to show us the way to salvation, to teach us to follow the teachings of Christ and how to deal with sin when we have fallen short. But that is the message that Jeremiah preached. But the people said, we will not change our ways of living. We are not accountable to God. They attempted to hide their sins behind their religion. And that is a very dangerous position to be in. Let us never take the blessings of God for granted. Let us always remember that we are accountable to God. And it does matter to God how we live our lives. But Satan is also out there constantly tempting us to become more relaxed in our walk with the Lord. Jeremiah said, the nation of Israel had backslidden their walk with God. They had reversed from what it should have been. So let us make sure we don't find ourselves on that slippery slope where we lose more ground than what we gain. Let us make sure that we can make progress in our walk with the Lord, that we are careful that the distractions of sin do not interfere our Christian walk. Before we continue with our message, I want to give you the opportunity to go and bend a knee, whoever's able, and pray for whatever lies in your heart. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
While Jesus whispers to you, 113 in the Red Hymn.
Thank you.
A beautiful invitation. Jesus gives us an invitation. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. And going back to Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 5 to 7, he asks a question. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Now Jeremiah, he could have given up. It's no use. He saw that his preaching was not doing a whole lot of good. And if you think of it, 40 years, not a whole lot of results came from that. His friends, his family, even tried to still his voice. But the reason that he kept on going was he received encouragement from God. God called him to call the people of Israel to repentance. Jeremiah reminds us of Moses, where Moses too kept on pleading for the children of Israel. But in chapter 14, we find a turning point. Up till now, Jeremiah has been pleading for the people to repent. But now, we find that God's patience has expired, and he speaks harsh words of judgment to the children of Israel. In Jeremiah 14, verses 10 to 12. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. How sad it is when God comes to the point where he says, I will not hear their prayers. He will not accept their offerings, and that he will remember their sins and he will hold them accountable. He now had turned his back on his people. But we also read of God's grace in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, God is gracious. God loves his creation. He created mankind. He not just only made mankind, but he also breathed the breath of life into mankind, and mankind became a living soul. He loves each one of us, and God loves to bless his people. We have seen God's grace and love in John 3:16, when God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did this while the world was full of sin. God could have said, you people will need to repent, and if you repent, I will send my Son. He didn't. He sent his Son while we were yet sinners. That's the love that he has for us. God does not want the death of a sinner. But the day will come, like it did in Moses' time, like it did in Jeremiah's time, where God's grace will have been expired toward unbelievers. And his judgments will come on all who have rejected his salvation. Revelations 20, verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yes, there are many warnings in Scripture towards us, telling us that if we neglect our salvation, we will be lost forever. Many do not want to hear this. Oh, they want to go to heaven. Oh, they say they believe in Jesus. But they do not want to repent. They do not want to submit. Repenting is a sign of remission, submission. And our human nature does not want to submit. What did Jesus say? When Nicodemus asked him, Jesus told him, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. The only way to see this kingdom of God is to be born again. So what does that mean, to be born again? That means that the life that we've lived up to that point, we set aside, we now start living a life for Christ. That's completely different. We cannot mix both together. We cannot even sit on the fence. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I got a pamphlet yesterday from a Muslim. They were at the Harvest Festival. They have their booth there, and he gave me a pamphlet. Oh, they believe in Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was a good prophet. But that's it. Muhammad is a prophet. So we see that Satan is trying to wedge it into whatever place he can. And we need to be careful. Some religions, they sound good. Almost like ours, they believe in God. But how do they believe in God? Jesus says there's only one way to God. That's through him. And the Christian religion is the only religion that believes that. We have a living Christ. We could say a living prophet. Whereas they, Muhammad, has been dead for years. What can he do for them? We have work ahead of us. But our salvation is a gift of grace, not by works. That's why I read also in that pamphlet how good you've been, how many good works you've done. And they do a lot of good works. We are followers of Christ because we have accepted him as our Savior. We have accepted the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And if we are followers of Christ, then we will submit. We know that Satan influences people through other religions. Well, they also say that God is love. But some religions also say God is a love. He would never send anybody to hell. They say there is no heaven or hell. People find favor in these religions so that there is less fear of death. But there need not be fear of death because Christ has overcome death. And as a Christian, we died when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior to live forevermore. Jude, verses 14 to 19. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of the saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And that is the difference. Those of us that have accepted Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And those that have not, Christ don't have that Spirit. But this is what the people in Jeremiah did. They followed these false prophets. They wanted to travel the easy road that allowed them to enjoy the pleasures of sin and not to fear any consequences. We are also familiar with the story of Jonah. We usually think as of men catching fish, but here, a fish caught a man. Jonah was a reluctant prophet. He was not a willing messenger. God sent him to Nineveh, but he really did not want to go there. He had heard about these people of Nineveh, and he was not interested in going there. He would get a lot of opposition. But after all was said and done, God convinced him to go, and his message was simple and to the point. In Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said," this is all he told him, "yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He preached, "Repent, or judgment will come." But what a difference we see between the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day and the people of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh, when they heard this message, they repented. They did not want God's judgment to come upon them. And we read what happened, going on to verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto the God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? So we see what happened here. Everybody repented. The king, even the king said the animals had to be sackcloth, not to feed them. He wanted to make sure that God was seeing the repentance that was happening. But herein lies the key. It was the leader of Nineveh that took charge of this. That's why it's so important. We pray for the leaders of our country. We see that our country is not a Christian country anymore. But how much have we prayed for our leaders? And if our leaders will repent and turn to God, just imagine the blessings this country would have. Then we go on in verse 10 in Jonah. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God saw the repentance. The people were serious. And that can happen in each of our own lives. Yes, they feared the wrath of God. And Jeremiah, he would have been overjoyed if this would have happened in his day. Jonah preached, I don't know, maybe one day the people repented. Whereas Jeremiah preached 40 years. When a sinner repents, it brings great joy to God. It does not only bring joy to God, but Scripture says the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents and begins a new life and walks the footsteps of Jesus. Yes, we can. Even as Christians, bring joy to God's heart when we make the right choice between good and evil. And we choose to be obedient and do what is right. Yes, there are many warning signs out there for us today. I might be wrong on this, but when I see with all these forest fires, there's one of two things that are happening. Either God is doing it, I mean, he's allowing it anyway, but either it's God's doing or it's the world's government's doing. One of the two. But they are warnings. And we have young people here today. You have dreams. You have goals for the future. That's the way it should be. Some will not be fulfilled, but use them as stepping stones. But focus on that one goal that is most important, and that is everlasting life in heaven. And it's not only young people that are tempted. Everybody, Satan, even tempted Jesus. But I still remember a young man, it's going back a number of years. He started a job. He was so happy with this job. He had a pension plan, good work, and he would enjoy this job. But sin got a hold of him. He was working alongside an individual that lived in sin. and he followed that path. It didn't take long. He lost his job. Sad to say, also his family. But the choices that we make today will be a part of us for many years to come. Self-discipline is very crucial if we want to succeed in life or not. Don't allow distractions, whatever they may be, to control our lives. But rather, let the Spirit of Christ rule our lives, and we will avoid a lot of pitfalls. But let us be careful of the resources that we use that will form and shape us into becoming the person or the kind of person that we want to be. But if we allow the Spirit of God to prepare our future, then we are standing on solid ground. Then you will know that the values and standards that you base your life on will not only be beneficial for this life, but also in the life to come. Just keep your eyes and your ears open for the warning signs. Don't ignore them, because there are serious consequences to follow. Like what happened at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. Japanese planes, they bombed the Pearl Harbor during the Second World War. It was a terrible loss for the U.S. Army. Many of them were killed. Yes, the enemy planes were only 50 minutes away when the soldiers, they spotted the dots on the radar screen. They reported it to the supervisor. But he says, don't worry, they're only U.S. planes. Minutes later, the planes came and destroyed Pearl Harbor. The supervisor did not heed the warnings, and he paid the consequences. Yes, there are many warnings all around us. The Word of God has many warnings. So let us not choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin, like the children of Israel did in Jeremiah's day. But rather, there are many blessings also in Scripture. Let us look at the blessings. And when we look at the blessings of God, we can enjoy the pleasure and peace of God's grace. His goodness and his love. No, they are not just warnings. Scriptures are full of promises. Promises that we can rely on 100%. Knowing what God has told us, those promises he will keep. Closing, I want to leave you with John 14, verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of our worship service today, we want to thank you for your presence and Spirit's leading. We thank you that you care enough for us, that you send us warnings. May we heed your warnings as the people of Nineveh did, so that we can continue to be blessed. We pray healing for those that are sick whether it's physically or spiritually, for those that are struggling with addictions. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. May you give them peace and comfort. We pray for our young people that they will not go along with the ideas of this world, but rather rely on your Spirit to be a witness for you in this world. Thank you, Father, for letting us know that you lead us and that you will take us all the way to that special place which you have for our lives here on earth and ever after. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so whoever's able, let us once again kneel in prayer in Jesus' name. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
A red hymn number 314. In God I have found a retreat. For 314.
Good morning, and a beautiful morning at that. Thank you, Reverend Jake, for the message. Heed God's warnings. We also want to thank the song leaders for the two new songs that we had this morning. They were very good songs, very good message in it, and thank you for that. I also see some visitors in church this morning, also a hearty welcome, and I'm glad you could spend the morning with us. have a blessed day and a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Robert, for those announcements. I also want to thank you for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer. The Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.